Okay.
All right, let's go ahead and start. So, Christine, what's on your mind today?
Well, the end of our course is on my mind. Will I be successful? And that's a fear I've had all along, because I bought the accelerator program before I signed up months ago, and I read the whole thing, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and I reread it, and I know it's something I can do, but I'm afraid I won't be successful at it.
And what does success look like to you, Christine?
With the coaching or in general?
Not with the coaching.
To have a full, you know, clientele that will fit my schedule, and to have more money, of course, and provide for my family, and to have other family members that don't see this as a career or something that I could provide my family with, show them that I can.
And why is that important to you?
Because I really want to help people. I really do. It's something that I think I've been doing for a long time, just in a different manner. And I just feel like I need to succeed at it.
All right. So tell me about what kind of coach you're going to be.
Well, I think I've narrowed down my niche to a degree. I would like to work with people that have brain injuries, any debilitating type of diseases, things of that sort, women with female issues, miscarriages, stuff like that, things I can relate to. But I also have grown up in a family business, and I have a business degree, so I can also coach on that end.
Okay. Why have you chosen this particular niche?
Because I think I shocked myself and everybody else the way I dealt with it when I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I think a lot of people feel sorry for themselves when they get diagnosed with something or when something happens to them. And I feel like you need to take what you have and make the best of it and try to turn negative thoughts into positive thoughts and what could be into what may never happen. And when you lose a child or miscarry or, you know, and you picture yourself with three kids and it just never happens, that wasn't meant to be. And to be happy with what you have and move on.
You know, you sound like a very brave, strong woman to me.
Thank you.
So if we had to define success at the end of the course, 6 months from now, what would be the one thing that would tell you you're successful?
I think having clients, paying clients, and seeing people move forward with things that their agendas.
How many paying clients would you have, do you think?
I didn't really think about that. Probably on a weekly basis, maybe two different ones.
Okay. Is there more to your practice than just one-on-one clients?
No, I don't think
okay.
So.
So 2 clients a week is good for your practice, sounds like, right? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, I think so. Yes, and I'll still work at my regular job.
Oh, okay. So, Christine, what do you need from our session here today?
I think I need reassurance that I can do this and I can make a living doing it. I like my job, what I do now, that it's not fulfilling to me. It's something that is just, I was born to do, I guess, or I was made to do, and just, it's a family thing, and you just do it, and you go. I don't feel like, I feel like I need a little bit more, what's the right word? I want to feel like I made a difference to somebody.
Okay. And what would that look like, making a difference?
For me to have a client be happy and to see, for them to take something negative and turn it into a positive thought, or to find their window or their door of the path they want to choose.
Okay.
And to be honest, you know, this could go on a lot longer than 15 minutes, Dave. But I guess basically it's something that I want to do. I'm not doing it because I feel like I'm supposed to. And that's okay. Like some people in my family, I think this is just going to be like a silly hobby. And you can't make a real living doing that. You know, you have to work 60 hours a week if you want to really be a real worker. That's how people in my family are. It's work comes first, and then everything else follows.
All right. So we talked about what success would look like 6 months from now. What does success look like a year from now?
I think I'd have more clients and maybe cut my hours a bit at my regular job.
Define a bit for me, if you would.
Maybe full-time to part-time, 20 hours.
Okay.
Cut 20 hours, not work 20 hours.
Well, if you cut 20 hours, what's that leave you with?
Well, 30.
Okay. And financially, what would that look like if you had, quote, more clients, able to cut back to part-time? What would that look like for you financially?
Oh, it would look fabulous. Because that's one of my fears, is I want to have, like, my mortgage paid off and all these things in case someday I can't work doing what I do because of the disease I have. I don't foresee that. I do, you know, I follow most of the rules, and I'm very optimistic about it. But it is there. And that's with any human being. I mean, somebody could, you know, it's the old saying, get hit by a bus. I just kind of have a warning sign. And other people don't.
Okay. So why do you think you won't be successful a year from now?
I think I mean, I know I can be. It's just, it's just actually doing it and saying, I did this myself to my family, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Who in your family?
My father.
Yeah.
My mother
actually. What would you have to do to be successful in his eyes?
I have no idea.
Is that important to you?
It is, but I don't think I'll ever get there.
Why not?
I just don't think it's possible. I'm not sure what I guess I feel like it'll never be enough.
All right. What's your dad's name?
Steve?
All right.
Yep.
So if you can't ever please Steve, who do you have to please?
Myself.
And what's that going to look like?
I'd be very happy. But
yeah,
I want to please them.
But how do you go about pleasing yourself to the point where you can sit there and say, you know what, I'm a success. I know Steve still thinks I should do more, but you know what, I'm a success.
I don't know. I know I'm not being a good client right now by saying I don't know. it's something, and I just did the giggle thing. It's something I'm working on, you know, myself. I have been for a long time, and I've definitely gotten better with it. I've accepted a lot of things, and, you know, that I'm not a boy, and, you know, I don't do all the boy things that my brother does. I just work in the office, just underlined. And, you know, I have accepted a lot of those things.
Okay. So how do we go about creating success for you, Christine? How do we do that?
I would love to be, and I'm going to be, a very successful coach. And it would just be great for me to say, look what I've done and look what I've created.
Okay. And what would that look like? Give me specifics. What would that look like? Because I didn't say, I did, I created this.
Okay.
What would that look like exactly?
It would be me having my own business.
Mm-hmm.
And not being dependent on a paycheck from my father. Like, if you know what? If I didn't have to, that I think that would be a good feeling for me. Because it's like, well, you know, you're getting paid very well for what you do, but I don't think that's beside the point. But I think I did this all by myself without you. And I didn't need you to help me do this at all. And even though it may not seem like a real job, in your eyes, it's a real job in my eyes. And I make enough money now where I can more than support my family. I don't have to, you know, struggle week to week.
I think that sounds phenomenal. Can we use our future sessions together, Christine, to help lay out the plan to define exactly what that looks like?
Absolutely, and I feel it's very strange to have seven other people listening to me say this. Even though I can't hear them, I know they're there, and I'm like, oh, my God, what am I saying? But, yeah, I guess that's pretty much it. I guess, in a nutshell, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I graduated, you know, I had to go to business school. I went to business school. I graduated with high honors, but that's just what Christine does. You know, she doesn't do anything half-assed. She does it full bore and great, you know.
Okay. So, you know, assuming we're meeting on a regular basis here, what are you going to do between now and our next session?
I think I'm going to make a log or whatever of things that I can do what I see being successful 6 months from now.
How about beyond that?
Like a year from now?
Well, can you give me a view? I mean, if you want to sit there and say, Dad, I'm successful. Is that something you do in 6 months, a year, 3 years?
Probably 3 years. I'll push it out as far as you did.
All right. Can we work on that?
Yeah, we can work on that.
Okay. Can I make a request of you?
Of course.
Can I ask you to sit down and very carefully think about a definition of success 3 years out where you can say, I can do these things, I've made it.
Okay. I can do that.
Okay. What will it look like? You create that. What's it going to look like? What are you going to give to me?
Okay.
No, I'm asking you a question, Christine. When you create that vision,
yep,
what are you going to hand to me or send to me?
I'm going to give you my, I don't know if I'll probably still be working where I'm working, but not as much, and I'll have a much fuller clientele. I picture myself with no credit card debt, my house paid off, and not having to say, I have to have that job, or this is going to happen.
All right, very good. Let's lay out those details for our next session if we can, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, Christine, what part of this session helped you here?
I think picturing a year out and three years out, trying to picture what I'll be doing at that point.
Yeah.
And it being real.
We don't have that picture yet, do we?
A little bit. I feel like it's a pipe dream, but I know I can do this. I just sometimes feel like I'm not supposed to. So I have to train myself to, I can do this.
Okay. The difference between the dream and the reality is the plan to get there from A to B. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
All right. So if you put yourself on mute with star six also takes you off of mute.
Great job, Chris.
Tell me what you heard in the session.
That's great.
Did you guys hear the simple coaching model?
Yes.
Okay. What did you notice about the questions that I asked?
You expanded them out. You know, not expanded them out. You made them more specific. Like even when you were talking, when she was talking about her dad, it didn't, like you said, you gave him a name. You started getting some more information there so that he became more real. He became, a person that you referred to by name, and so it added a little bit more to it. It took away some of the generality of it and made it specific.
Yeah, I think he dug deeper. I think he dug a lot deeper, causing her to open up more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Christine, I know we're talking about you here, so be aware that
That's
we're
okay.
not trying. You know, we are part of a learning experience here. You're not really. We're not really trying to dissect you.
Yep. No, I'm not shy. That's why I volunteered for it.
It was great. It was great.
Did you guys notice how the issue early on about her family turned into the issue of her dad?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I actually had other questions about that.
Okay. Like what?
Well, one of the questions that I thought of was asking Christine if you currently work for your father.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And he has no idea I'm even taking this course.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought so, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else did you hear in the session? What else did you either like or didn't like?
There were a couple of times where I probably would have asked a couple more specific questions, and I don't know if that was right or wrong, or just a different style. I'm not sure.
Okay, like what?
Hold on, I wrote them down. The first one was, so if you weren't able to please your dad, what would that mean for you?
Okay.
And then one of the other ones was, And this one was more towards the end when you were talking about kind of the next session stuff. But I think the way you did it was good because you were framing up, and maybe this would have been a question for session two, but I was thinking what's something you could do between now and our next session that would make you feel more like you were on the road to achieving success.
Yeah, that would have been really good. That's a good one. Yeah. The issue about not pleasing her dad, I didn't go there because that would have been a negative perception.
Oh.
Okay.
Where I could have gone is, what would it feel like to have your dad say, wow, Christine, you've made it. Now, I didn't quite go that far with it because my sense was, and this is only, we only had 15 minutes here, was that that would have been a huge leap for Christine.
Mm-hmm.
That was just my impression from our short discussion.
Christine already took a huge leap.
She's taking several huge leaps here, it sounds like to me.
I think so.
But Dave, I have a question. This is Tara. So when you do this session and you recognize, okay, there's a challenging relationship between Christine and Steve, and that's an underlying, very deep relationship. Of course, tonight's time commitment couldn't have been done, but even going into the first session, do you recognize that as one of those underlying issues at the like core of that onion, that you're peeling back these layers to get there eventually and you don't tackle it now, or is it something different? I mean,
first of all, it could be.
A few times, and clearly that's very entangled in, you know, the work relationship, father-daughter relationship, not being the son. There's a lot there that I would think would be covered over months. So was it just not the initial session? She didn't want Christine, like, getting angry or upset day one or no?
Yeah. First of all, you're right. That's something that came out of our longer session. And by the way, you can substitute my father with my boss or my spouse or go on and on.
Yeah.
The thing you have to watch here is that if this keeps coming back and everything keeps coming back to Steve or the boss or the spouse, there might be a therapeutic issue here that you can't handle.
Okay.
If Christine is saying to me, we'll cover some future sessions, we'd sit there and say, so Christine, so you're not going to please Steve? You've accepted that, sounds like. Yeah, you know what? Ain't going to happen. All right, who do we have to please? I got to please myself. What's that look like? And if we could put that issue of Steve behind us and say, focus on now and the future, then we're good to go. If it keeps going back to, I've got to please Steve, Steve won't be happy, I'll never make Steve happy, then I got a therapy issue.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
I was going to say, Dave, when you asked about what it was that we liked and didn't like, the one thing that I did like is that you didn't focus on that negative, that you didn't focus on that, because I'm thinking the same thing that you were with. If I keep on bringing that could turn into a therapeutic issue because, you know, she made a couple of inferences to, you know, to her family, and then not necessarily, thinking that that coaching is a legitimate career, and that, you know, this is just some hobby. And I mean, I like that you didn't focus in and hone in on that, because then it could have turned negative. I like that you tried to stay on what the agenda was, and the agenda was being successful, you know, talking about how she was going to be successful in this. And I like the way you kept it on that path and didn't take it down that negative path that, like you said, could have turned potentially therapeutic.
Yeah, I could have turned it into a session about her dad. And if she wasn't already needing therapy, she might have afterwards.
Right.
All right.
I think it could easily flip that way, and I think that's the essence of what coaching is about and what coaching is not. I think it was a perfect example of that. If you would have gone the other way, it would have been what coaching is not.
Yeah. We are where we are. How do we move it forward, not backward? I didn't ask about, you know, why does your dad not trust you or not love you or whatever it is. I mean, you know, I didn't get that there at all because that's not the issue for coaching.
Right.
Okay, a couple quick questions for you about the session. Did the session sound rushed?
No.
I don't think so.
I felt like it did a little bit. I'm sorry, I'm going to take the other side. Just towards the end, when you were closing, when you were trying to close it down, when you were bringing it to the part where you were telling her, you know, would you come back for extra sessions and you were going to that, I felt like she was really starting to open it up and you were closing.
Yeah, that part is true. I had to, you know, I tried to keep it to 15 minutes. So I, you know, I could have gone on longer that way.
Oh, right. Right, absolutely. Yeah. And I really, the time frame plays a big part in it. That's the only part that I thought.
I think the message I'm trying to leave here is that as we went through the agenda, the coachable moment, and the shift, there's time to do all that. Wrapping up can be a little bit more strenuous that way, I guess, if you're on a tight time frame like we are during class time.
Right.
But you don't. The questions are not rapid-fire questions. Did you notice the pauses and the gaps between her response and my questions?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't pepper her with questions. And several times as I sat there in silence for just a moment or two, she continued on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you start getting really deep. When they give you those additional thoughts, you can get really deep. If you try and pepper the questions too much, you'll miss that opportunity.
Got it.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Other questions or comments? Okay. Now, was this session helpful to all of you guys?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right, good. I mean, that's a big part of the goal is to have you guys hear what it sounds like to hear a coaching session firsthand and experience it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, we'll do sample sessions next week. Let's see. And then week five is October 28th. And that week we're going to do our first Coach the Coach. We're going to do it as a round robin session. So we'll be helping practicing these skills and analyzing the session as we take it apart, literally step by step. And then week seven, which is middle of November, will be the very first session where you guys are the coaches. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Any last questions or comments for today?
Yeah, I do. So I think that I have a similar concern to Christine in terms of can I be successful? Can coaching be successful? And I know coaching is an up-and-coming profession, but I know coaches that haven't made it or that haven't been successful in their business. And while you were building on that positive of what would it look like if you were successful, I guess if I were in her shoes and maybe she didn't take it the same way I would have taken it, but how do I know I can or will be successful as a coach? And I guess I don't know that that will ever be able to be answered in one session, also being that you're the professor for this course, so as well as the coach for that session, you're in a bit of a, I don't know if compromised position is the right word, but
no.
As a professor for the coach, the answer has to be that you can and will be successful, whereas an objective coach maybe has to look at, well, what can we do to get you from point A to point B?
So I've seen a lot of coaches fail, CTA grads and non-CTA grads. But a couple of things you have to keep in mind here. One is, if you don't know what success is, you're never going to get there. So it cannot be some nebulous thing that says, I'll know it when I get there. Because you know what? I don't know what that even looks like.
Right.
You can define what success looks like. You can create a plan to get there. The other thing I'll tell you is that most coaches that I've met, and again, when I first became a coach, I became part of the Denver Coach Federation. I joined the membership committee because I wanted to meet other coaches. What better way to do it than to be in membership? And I watched a lot of coaches come and go. What I consistently found was coaches who could not build a practice did not have a clearly defined niche. They tried to coach everybody, and so nobody heard their marketing, and nobody resonated with what they were trying to sell them. So if you can identify where your strengths are, where your passions are, where your niche is, and then reach out and connect with those people through your marketing, then you can make yourself financially successful. Okay? Does it help you some, Alan?
Yeah, it does.
Good. All right. Okay. Everybody have a great week. We'll talk to you guys all next week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.